meeting of audit and accounts. Thank you all for coming. And if we, in fact, I think I would like to welcome Chris, who's sitting behind us. It's a bit unfortunate, Chris. I don't know if you want to come and join us at all. Or would you rather shoot from behind?
It's up to you.
It's entirely up to you.
Pardon my ignorance, who is Chris?
Sorry. Judith, perhaps you would like to introduce Chris. I haven't officially met Chris.
My name is Chris Forrester. I'm your new Section 151 and Deputy Chief Exec.
That's right. You can be here then. That's fine. I was checking you. People wander in and out of this room.
Oh, they don't.
Not when you're chairman, madam.
You're very welcome, Chris.
Thank you.
Right. And so are Judith and also Emma. As are all of you. Right. If we then look at the minutes, or you have all read the minutes, I would imagine, of the 21st of November. But in fact, did we not have one in January?
No, I think this is the January meeting, Chair.
Anyway, the minutes, I think, were
It just seems so recent.
Correct, Madam Chair.
I've hardly blinked since it was last year. Right then, I guess you'll all have read them. And I need someone who was present at the meeting to propose.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you. Can I have a seconder for that, please? Right, that's Peter. So I shall sign them in your name. Today's date is
It's the 20th.
Thank you very much. In both pages. Right then, Andrew, do we have any apologies for tonight?
Yes, Chair, I've got an apology from Councillor Dodson.
Right, there are no subs for Councillor Dodson?
No substitutes, Chair. Right, that's
okay,
the
thank you. We are going to reverse the order of the agenda this evening, and we'll take item 3B, please. So you turn to page 40. We're going to begin on page 40. And I'm assuming, Emma, you're going to...
I'm going to do a very brief introduction.
Oh, surely not,
I just thought it was worth starting with 21-22, because obviously these have been delays coming, and then I thought that was better to move on. I just want to draw members' attention to the prudential indicators. There weren't any issues with them during the year. They're set out on page 51. And the only other thing I wanted to bring to members' attention was that in paragraph 5.31, we did breach the 6 million rule on one day in terms of counterparties, but that was just as a result of all the extra cash that people have been giving us. And as members are aware, we then sought to bring the reports back to increase the money market funds to 9 million to take account of the short-term cash flows that we've experienced.
Right.
And
then
happy to take any questions on the rest of the report.
Right. You want me to go through page by page, or has anyone quickly noticed anything they'd like to query or ask for clarification? Right. I think then, if I could just actually congratulate you, Emma, on all your hard work for this excellent report. Well done. And if we then go back, the recommendation is that we note the annual Treasury Management Report, and it's for 21-22. We're nearly finished the year now, 21-22.
So noted, Madam Chairman.
Noted, right. And you're also approving the actual 21-22 Prudential and Treasury indicators set out in the appendix.
Approved.
Is that approved?
Approved, Madam Chairman.
All of you?
Yep.
Yes. Unanimous, right, thank you. Right, so we'll go back to item number 3A, and it's beginning on page 3, please. I'm assuming this is Emma again.
It is, Madam Chair.
Good.
This is obviously the Treasury Strategy for 23-24 and sets out the prudential indicators. One of the things I want to bring members' attention to is paragraph 5.18, which does talk about training. And there are different training requirements. So I think what Chris and I are planning to do is to have a look at what we need to do and what we need to provide for you. So over the next 12 months, we'll be doing a series of training, which we'll discuss with you, Councillor.
Yes,
so that we can bring that forward.
I couldn't remember being trained, but then it was quite a long time ago. So.
Yeah, I mean, when we looked at the day,
it was
obviously due to COVID. So we've done the training on the account.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
but we haven't picked up this, so I think we need another session to make sure that we've given you the opportunity to scrutinise these as effectively as you can.
Tony.
Is that a statutory requirement that we're trained, like on the planning committee? We can't sit on the committee unless we...
No, unfortunately, it's not a statutory...
Within the new guidance, it says that we do need to give the training in order to discharge your functions, so that's why we're going to try and get that done and put it in the programme more regularly.
You don't have to add a column of figures or anything like that.
No, I think that as yet, it's not like planning. The training for planning and licensing, it's in the constitution that we actually have to have training to actually sit on that committee, and it's not as yet in the constitution that this training for the audit committee, I don't know whether
do we want to put it into the constitution on the basis we're reviewing the constitution at the moment?
Well, I think you would need to be very, very quick, and I don't think you'd be in time, because the last meeting of the review of the Constitution... Stephen, you've got your hand up behind me. I don't realise the fact that...
I thought she was waving.
I don't want to turn around. Sorry, Chair, I wasn't expecting to need to speak. I think the difference between the Audit Committee and Planning and Licensing is they've both got kind of quasi-judicial responsibilities, so that's why it's much easier to make it a statutory responsibility to do it. I don't believe we can achieve quite the same.
No.
We'll take it as far as we can, certainly in encouraging and persuading people to attain, particularly when we do have a responsibility to discharge those duties. You can raise it within as to whether it can go in the Constitution the same way, but having had similar conversations for different reasons over the years, that's not been the case, unless there's something new within this guidance that kind of elevates it to that level.
I think you might find yourself with no members in this
committee.
Oh, that's a leap. You'd be better making a compulsory training once they're on the committee.
Yes.
I think it's a good point that Tony makes, actually. Not that necessarily, because it's not statutory that you need to be trained. But there's a lot of complex stuff in here. If
you're
not financially competent, isn't it?
We
have to rely on the officers.
Yeah, we have
which
had,
we always do.
But we have had some excellent training courses, and usually we have had the same members for a longer period of time.
Yeah.
It just so happens that Tony has come new to the committee at this year, but I'm sure that at the beginning of next year it will be included in the training programme for
trainers are chartered accountants.
Yes.
No. I just think because of all the committees that the council has and subcommittees got as well, audit and accounts must surely rate as one of the most important, because it's the money.
The whole thing hinges
around the money.
Yes.
But
we will, in fact, Emma usually runs excellent training courses, and we have had training courses in between times.
Yeah, we will. To do the training for this, it will be our treasury consultants that will deliver the training.
Yes.
But they're quite experienced, so we just want to, Chris and I want to have a look to see what we need, and then put that together and then discuss that with you to program in. And then I think the idea would be that we'd probably look to do something on certainly every 2 years, maybe every year, to just get them to come in and just do some refresher training.
Yeah. I think that actually that 5.18 was one that we have quite a few of us had our eyes on tonight, so he's with you, Emma. Anyway, moving backwards this time, Emma.
Yeah, so in terms of the rest of it, it just sets out our position in terms of potential indicators. It sets out the reserve balances. I think it's better to go through, and if members have got any questions as we go through, then I can answer those.
Right then, shall we just go through?
Yep.
We'll go through it then, right?
Could I just say, Chairman, as I understand it, the strategy is basically the same as it was in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a new thing that we have to do, which is on 5.32. And that's perhaps not that it's effectless, but it is a new thing that has to be done.
Are you seeing that's a new thing for us?
That is something new, but because of the way the finances are at this council, it doesn't actually affect us.
Yeah. Right, so that's 5.22. Right, moving on from there, that was page 9. Then we'll get anything before 9, 10, or 11, or 12, or 13.
Yeah, I think
yes, by all means, Ian.
So I'm looking at the table year end resources.
Page
13. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So just to help my understanding, we're talking about capital grants, capital receipts, and we've got obviously an actual and then a set of estimates. Can I have some kind of understanding of when those estimates are actually firmed up, or when each year you would actually be told what grant you're definitely having? I'm assuming that some of that is coming from central government.
Yeah, so this is actually funding that we already have in our receipts. So it's money in the bank, effectively.
Okay.
And this is,
and that's
saying,
where you're going to disperse it. You're going to spend it.
Yeah, so we're saying, so we take the 21-22 actual, we look at what we're going to have in, we look at what we're going to fund, and then that's our estimate based on. So the budgets that we've just taken, those are reflective of all the things we've put in there.
The money's,
and that's
there,
where
it can't be
withdrawn,
it's safe. In essence.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. And sorry, one follow-up question. I think I resolved it earlier with Mike, but you've got provisions here, so you're releasing those provisions that have been taken in prior
years.
So
this is for business rates appeals,
okay,
the provisions for those. So we've assumed that they will be settled. Obviously, as we go forward, we might have new ones, but at the moment, I've assumed they'll be settled in the next couple of years.
Thanks, Emma. Thank you.
Right, you're happy with that, right? Okay. On to page 14, and 15, 16, 17, and 18 and 19. 20 and 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. 28, 28. I think everything's so very clear here. Apart from some of the abbreviations, where I kept having to flick back and look at a wee bit of paper for abbreviations.
I'm sure I saw something on, I think it was the borough, when it said on the computer, and it put them in, you know, added them in. So where they got LF or something, and it put next to it what it was.
They do something
like a Denova thing.
What you're supposed to do in a report is you put the acronym,
the full thing in,
and then in brackets you put what it is.
Yes.
Having put it what it is at the front end of any report or anything,
it's then
standard. Probably you are right. Acronyms, an acronym rich document can be very, very difficult to read.
And once it's shown you, it might be five pages later when
correct.
It goes again.
When it comes again and you think to
yourself, yeah, and you're looking back. Yeah. So I usually sit with a bit of paper and write it down so that when I meet it, I come up against it. That's my wee bit of paper, Bill. My name was in it. Right, so Appendix 1 on page 30, 31 and 32. 33 and 4, 35 and 6, 37, 38 and 39. Right, and I guess that's it. So no questions at all.
Yeah, I've got one other question out of interest.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the total investments, and I'm wondering if I benchmark this against other councils, is this a kind of typical level or a super high level? Or is it not possible to assess?
This is page 43,
yeah. Yes, sorry.
I think it's difficult to say. They haven't really compared. I mean, in terms of canop theirs is similar, but in terms of the reserves, obviously the point is you can only use them once.
Mm-hmm.
And it just depends what you have planned for. Obviously, what we're trying to do is we've got more reserves currently because we're not quite sure what's going to happen with business rates reset,
mm-hmm.
so we're trying to be cautious about what we use.
Mm-hmm.
Section 106, obviously that just depends what's happening in your area. So it's not something I've looked at in terms of benchmarking to see how others compare. I don't know if you've got a view, Chris, in terms of...
You can run your treasury strategy in lots of ways, as Emma's alluded to. A number of the METs I've worked at, we used a very heavy borrowing strategy, so we'd have built up a significant reserve to offset that. Other ones we depleted our own reserve position rather than borrowing to give us surety and minimise our costs on that front. So it's not really something that's comparable. Obviously, they're funded through deficit mechanisms in different areas. So as Emma says, even if I did try and benchmark against nearest neighbours, they might be adopting a different strategy, so it wouldn't give a lot of depth or meaning to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's how we do it.
Yeah.
So effectively, we try not to borrow, so we've got the reserves to not have that additional cost. Unless there's a business case.
That's right, and that's what the strategy is about, isn't it? So whether we need to borrow that and what the rules and regulations are about that. But the fact that we've got this money available and we don't need to borrow must make this council
good
financially sound.
Can
I move, Madam Chairman, that we adopt the recommendations as set out in 2.1 and 2.2?
Right, so that is that we adopt the Prudential and Treasury Indicators, that's page 3, the top of page 4, the MRP Policy Statement, the Treasury Management Policy, and the Annual Investment Strategy for 23-24. And also we note that the indicators may change in accordance with the final recommendations from the Cabinet to Council in relation to both the General Fund Revenue Budget and the Capital Programme. Is that agreed by all of us?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that's unanimous. Thank you very much.
Can I just say something that I think is something that comes out normally only at the full council meeting, where somebody thanks the officers in the finance departments for all the work they do, and
I think we always do, don't we?
We usually do that.
Nice that they know
we
rely on them, and they do a good job.
We certainly do. Apart
from mechanic people, obviously. there is a
proviso in that. Statement.
Oh God, yes.
We usually do that. Yes. We've done that tonight also. Before we moved on to item 3, after 3B, we did that. So it's been a very quick meeting this evening, colleagues. And can I thank all of you who have come this evening, especially if you're not travelling or if you're not staying for another meeting.
Yeah, I've got another meeting.
So Ian, thank you very much, and can I thank the officer for coming along tonight and let you go home for an early tea.
Thank you.
So thank you all very much.
Thank you.